listeners, making us feel intense emotions, whether happy or sad. And he said that if you wanted to move the hearts of your audience, you had to feel those passions yourself. Join me, Donald MacLeod, for CPE Bach as Composer of the Week, each weekday at noon and again at 6:30 in the evening.
Well, this is BBC Radio 3, and now we come to World Roots, another programme of highlights from the Darbar Festival of Indian Classical Music, which took place last month at King's Place, the venue on the banks of Regent's Canal in London. The programme is introduced by Lopa Kotari with Jamila Siddiqui.
And so, Jamila, you and I were back here at Darbar, 4 days of glorious music. One of the things I absolutely love are these morning recitals.
Morning is a very good time for Indian music. You know, that is completely at the heart of Indian music anyway. The fact that it's so closely linked to nature, to the positions of the sun as viewed from Earth. And, you know, in our first few years in England that I was here, we only got evening concerts. It's just so lovely to have the morning, the early afternoon, late afternoon, early evening and late evening. It virtually takes care of every sector that has rags ascribed to it and brings one right back to where that music belongs, because it belongs in nature and the moving light.
Well, this morning we've actually got something quite extraordinary, haven't we? We've got South Indian classical music, Carnatic music, being played by an instrument that is not at all associated within any form of classical Indian music, the saxophone.
Absolutely. We are totally at home with the violin. The violin arrived in South Indian music in the 18th century. It has stayed and stayed and stayed. More recently, the piano has made inroads into South Indian classical music, you know, despite its rigid tuning, despite all its limitations. And now, of course, saxophone. Now, I've heard about Kadri Gopalnath and I've listened to some clips, but I have never seen him play live. I can't tell you how much I'm looking forward to this.
Well, later on in the programme, we're going to have a slightly more traditional end to a day with romantic songs, khayal songs, from Pandit Ulhas Gashalkar. But first, here's Kadri Gopalnath with his saxophone taking centre stage, accompanied by Jyotsna Srikant on violin, Bangalore Parveen on mridangam, R.M. Prakash on ghatam, and Kavi Raj Singh on tanpura.
Thank you.
That was Kadri Gopalnath on saxophone, Jyotsna Srikant on violin, Bangalore Parveen on mridangam, Aryan Prakash on ghatam, and Kaviraj Singh on tanpura. Kadri, that was just a wonderful way to start a morning.
Thank you.
What did you have to do to the saxophone to make it speak Karnataka?
Very few part of that I have changed that. But this 99.9% is the saxophone original.
There are a lot of microtones in Indian classical music. So how do you get that from the saxophone?
They're very easy because, I told you, nothing is impossible, only practice. So you can create on your mouth and control, blowing control. So press and the mouth and the blow, you can create.
I mean, not only do you make the saxophone speak in a very different way, but yours... has an extremely glamorous look to it. It looks like a sort of holy object.
Oh, really? Thank you. Really, thank you.
You put various ornamentation on it. A wonderful sight to behold.
What do you know? Indians, we respect the instrument as a god. We worship, we love the instrument because whatever our feelings is coming via the instrument. So like a body, like my friend or my mother or my sisters or my whatever, all the time we were like a baby, and also we'll pray before the concert because we need the instrument to understanding what is my problem. We respect that. That's all.
Now you're essentially the pioneer of the saxophone in classical music, in Karnataka classical music, but you were growing up in the 60s, playing saxophone. So were you listening to the great jazz guys like Ferris Sanders and Coltrane? Is that where part of your enthusiasm came from?
Good question. When I was 15 years old, boy, we went on to Mysore Palace. There is a band. There was this guy was playing saxophone. I listened only saxophone my first time, lifetime, because I am basically from south part of India in the coastal area, Mangalore. So somebody told me they are playing some Charlie Parker, something like that. Then I asked the gentleman who is the bandmaster, what is this instrument? Even that, I don't know, even that level. He said, saxophone. Yeah, where can I get? I like to have, I'll study. No, this is very expensive, it's bringing from somewhere. So only you have to import that. Then I ordered a saxophone from by VPP, it's coming by post.
Yeah.
It was 1965. I paid 800 rupees.
Wow, 800 rupees in 1965.
My dad paid. I don't have money.
Your dad invested in your future.
Yeah. He said, what is it? Look, I don't know saxophone. Only because I love you. You must learn some music.
It must have been very difficult for you to find a guruji who was willing to teach you because they'd have looked and thought, what a ridiculous thing.
Luckily, when the bandmaster was playing the saxophone, I showed the keys. How was he playing some songs? Always my good memory, I catch the three fingers and all that. Then I came, I learned a few songs in some teachers who the band master, mm-hmm. playing Western and a little bit Indian.
Yeah.
So I know, I played 5 years.
So basically you came through the popular music side,
yeah.
to find your way into the classical music.
I will demand to the organizers, I am playing saxophone, I'm playing Indian classical music, South Indian classical music. They don't believe me. Eh? Saxophone, how can you play Indian classical music? Then I will give some simple whatever. Then slowly, laterally, one by one, they came. So, saxophone now talk of the town. Everywhere, go yeah. in temple, in marriage, in concert, everywhere saxophone. You can wonder there if you go south part of India. The marriage go, saxophone. Music is universal.
So the next piece we're going to hear is Rag Kalyana Vasantam,
yeah.
And a composition by Thyagaraja, one of the great South Indian composers.
Yes.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
What a fantastic way to start the day. Gadri Gopalnath on saxophone and a piece by the 18th century composer, one of the holy trinity of South Indian music, Tyagaraja. Gadri Gopalnath was accompanied by Jyotsna Srikant on violin, Bangalore Parveen on mridangam, R.M. Prakash on ghatam, and Kaviraj Singh on tanpura. Now, earlier on, Jamila Siddiqui spoke to the son of the renowned vocalist, Pandit Ulhas Kashalka Samian, who is accompanying his father on stage in the final recital of this year's Darbar Festival. And he gave her an interesting insight into his life and musical education.
Well, I have been listening to only Indian classical music from right from my birth, you can say. So there was no other music in our house.
So as a teenager, you didn't listen to hip-hop, heavy metal, rock and roll, Bollywood?
Maybe nowadays I listen to some Bollywood and some other stuff, but I also listen to ghazals. But in my childhood, I think only Indian classical music was played in our house. Maybe that is the reason I got attracted to the khayal music.
Okay, so it was always around you and you absorbed it.
Because I used to listen my father sing every day. So when I was 4 or 5, he used to call me. He used to play the harmonium and make me sing for maybe 10 minutes. He used to say, you sing for 10 minutes, then you go out for playing. Or you sing for 15 minutes, I'll give you a chocolate. So that was how...
Oh, so it was all bribery and
corruption. Yeah, so,
do you feel deprived in any way that you only had classical music?
No, I think I enjoy classical music, so I don't feel like listening to rock and roll anymore. So even if I have time, then maybe I'll listen to a ghazal or some good Bollywood songs. The present songs are not really good. So the old songs by Lata Mangeshkar, Asha Bhosle, they are absolutely good. So I listen to those songs, but I love classical music.
What does it grab in you? What nerve does it touch? You obviously are very passionate about Indian classical music. What is its appeal?
I think this is serious music. The expectations of the audience are also the same. They don't come to enjoy classical music like they go to watching a film or a rock or something pop.
So how does it make you feel? When you're listening to it, you feel one way. How do you feel when you're performing it, especially alongside your great father?
Well, performing, I think it all depends upon the mood, the plus minus that each artist has. Like a particular artist might be good with laikari, so he will present his recital with more laikari.
Laikari being rhythmic
intricacy. Yeah, rhythmic patterns.
Yeah.
Somebody's voice is really good, so he's focusing more on his voice. Somebody is a very learned, so he will perform mixed ragas, jod ragas. So every artist has his or her plus minus points. So accordingly, they design their singing.
How do you feel when you are at the height of your khayal? You're like 3/4 of the way, it's really going well. What does it make you feel?
It feels good.
Yeah. छोटे छोटे बातें करो ना मन लग जाए, छोटे छोटे बातें करो ना मन।
That's it for this year's Durbar Festival. Definitely a year when the younger generation are beginning to make their mark alongside some of the legendary figures of Indian classical music. So one final piece now from Ulhas Kashalka. He's accompanied by his son, Samian Kashalka, on backing vocals and tanpura, Chinmay Kolhatka on harmonium, Pandit Suresh Talwalkar on tabla, and Priya Prakash on tanpura.
Now I will present one bandish in Rag Khamaj.
Ulhas Kashalkar singing at the Darbar Festival of Indian Classical Music, which was held last month at King's Place in London. World Roots was introduced this week by Lobo Kotari with Jamila Siddiqui. Well, next week in World Roots, there'll be a review of recent CD releases of world music and a roundup of this year's summer music festivals. And there'll be a studio session with the Malian balafon player Lasana Jabate. Lucy Duran will be introducing World Roots next Saturday at 3 o'clock.
A fabulous conjunction of talents comes together in English National Opera's production of Wagner's opera Parsifal, this week's Opera on Three. The young conductor, Mark Wigglesworth, tackles Wagner's last opera for the first time, giving the impression he's been steeped in the score all his life. While one of Britain's best-loved singers, John Tomlinson, brings magisterial authority to the role of Gurnemanz, singing it in English for the first time. The young Australian tenor, Stuart Skelton, is magnificently heroic and passionate, making his debut in the title role, the innocent youth who saves the Knights of the Holy Grail in their hour of need. If you missed its acclaimed run of performances at the London Coliseum, join me for Parsifal in Opera on Three this afternoon at 5 p.m.
Well, this is BBC Radio 3. It's time now for Jazz Library. Here's Alan Shipton.
Today, Jazz Library focuses on one of the most pugnacious and technically brilliant tenor saxophonists in jazz, Johnny Griffin. Griffin in full flight in Copenhagen in 1989, with Kenny Drew on piano, Jens Mergård on bass, and Ole Steenberg on drums. It's from a recent Storyville boxed set from Johnny Griffin with Love, which includes three CDs and a DVD, and to which I'll be returning later in the programme. Johnny Griffin died in July 2008, but a few years before that, when he was on a visit to the UK, Geoffrey Smith and I interviewed him together at the Cheltenham Jazz Festival. So today I'm remembering Johnny with parts of that conversation, tracing his exceptional recording career. I began by asking him about how he came to New York and signed up with Alfred Lion and Frank Wolf's record label in 1956.
Bruno?
Yeah.
Through Babs Gonzalez.
So he introduced you to Alfred Lion, or...?
I'd met Babs Gonzalez when I was with Lionel Hampton in 1945. And with Ham, John Ham, in June 1945, we played Apollo Theatre at the beginning of December. It was in the winter. And Hamp always had a show with his band. He usually had the two Zephyrs at that time. Dinah Washington had been with the band. She had quit the band by then, but Dinah Washington had been with the band. Madeline Green was another singer with the band. The two Zephyrs were the comedians with the band. When we got to the Apollo Theater, Hamp hired Babs, Three Bips, and a Bop, which Tad Dameron was the pianist. Well, I came out of the military because I'd been in Hawaii 2 years in that war, the Korean conflagration, and spent 2 years in Hawaii. When I came back to Chicago, had Babs Gonzalez singing with me. It was 1954 or 55. Anyway, Babs went back to New York and told Alfred, because he was like a scout for Alfred. He brought Jimmy Smith to Alfred Lion, so he told Alfred about me. So Alfred called me up, come to New York to record with Max Curly Russell and Wynton Kelly. Right, that's how I got started.
Thank you.
Mildew from Introducing Johnny Griffin, made for Blue Note in April 1956 and featuring, as Johnny said, Curly Russell bass, Wynton Kelly piano and Max Roach drums. Johnny was to record several times for the same label, but one thing that always intrigued me was how he came to have three tenor saxophonists, himself, Hank Mobley and John Coltrane, on his next album, A Blowing Session.
Coltrane wasn't supposed to have been on it. That's a date with Hank Mobley, Lee Morgan, Art Blakey, Wynton Kelly, and Paul Chambers. We just happened to meet Coltrane when we were waiting to be picked up by Alfred Lion to go over to Rudy Van Gelder's. And Alfred said, well, what do you think about having Coltrane on it? And said, yeah, beautiful. Come on, the more the merrier.
Thank you. The Way You Look Tonight, from a blow-in session on Blue Note featuring Wynton Kelly piano, Paul Chambers bass and Art Blakey drums, with first today's Jazz Library subject, Johnny Griffin, and then his unexpected guest, John Coltrane, followed by Lee Morgan taking solos. For Johnny's first sessions on Blue Note, he'd had two of the major drummers on the New York scene, Max Roach and Art Blakey, but his third album had a rather less well-known figure.
Because there was one called The Congregation that I had Kenny Dennis on drums. Philly Joe Jones couldn't make it.
Yeah, with Sonny Clark and...
With Sonny Clark, right.
And this legendary idea of the days of rehearsal, I mean, was this true for you with the quartet, that the label played for you to rehearse the band as well as to record it?
Yeah. We had the music go in the studio and make it.
Yeah?
Make it, yeah. Those days that I'm talking about, there's no rehearsal. You go in the studio and do it. You come with the music, say, here it is, this is what we got, a new band.
And was the Van Gelder studio, was it still in his house at that stage? Or
yes, it was in his house, in the living room. Oh, don't bring the hamburgers in my living room. Don't spill the drinks on the rug. Don't.
Because he was working by day in as an optician or something, wasn't he, at that stage?
I don't know. He was working. He was on the moon by day and night. We'd drive him crazy. Don't do this, don't do that. Can you imagine? I was a jazz musician. Rudy Van Gelder was a great engineer, very great engineer, but completely nuts. Mm-hmm.